And I pray that if anyone that asks me for the reason for the hope that is in me, I'll say what the hope is: forgiveness of sins and resurrection through my Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll point them to the atoning, suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, my Lord. And I pray that if anybody asks you that same question, what's the reason for the hope that is in you, you'll also point them to Christ. That's having a ready defense, I guess. Problem is, in my life, nobody's asking. At least not lately. If I think hard over the past couple, 3 years, I can maybe think of maybe a handful of people who I could say maybe ask me, and they never say, what's the reason for the hope that's in you? But they might say, well, why are you a Christian? Or why do you go to Holy Cross? I mean, for me, it's a different answer maybe than you. But, why do you do what you do? And I guess, I don't know, I feel a little uncomfortable when you think about, well, why don't people ask me that? You ever think about that? Why don't people ask, do people ask you if you're a Christian? Or why are you a Christian? What do you believe? Why not? Now, I don't think we need to go around searching for ways to suffer for righteousness' sake, as Peter talks about today. But I do think God's Word challenges us a bit to ask ourselves, are we zealous for what is good? In other words, are we so intent on doing the right thing that people actually notice our good behavior in Christ and ask us about it? Or is our view of righteousness merely trying to avoid actively sinning? Is that what righteousness is to you? Let me give you an example. When I was in college, I went off to college freshman year, first time in the big city, you know, coming from a little small town in northern Michigan. And I had never really ridden the subway before I got to Boston. I didn't even know what a subway looked like. But freshman year, one of my college roommates and I and a couple of other people, we went and we're going to take the subway into Boston and see the city. And some weekend, we got our subway tickets and paid and got in there. And I had never before really been approached by a beggar. There were lots of poor people in Alpena, Michigan, but they, you know, nobody came up to you on the street and asked you for money, and certainly not in a subway because we didn't have a subway. So this person came up and. He asked me for money. He asked all of us, the group of us. The kids who had grown up, you know, in the cities, like in New York City or Boston or wherever, they kind of knew what to do. So they pretty much, pretty quickly walked very purposefully, you know, to wherever, somewhere else. And here am I, you know, country boy, I guess you'd say, small town boy, caught like the deer in the headlights. What do I do? And I saw what my friends were doing, and so I tried to mimic them. But my roommate, Grant, didn't do that. He stopped and got a little money out of his pocket and gave it to the guy. And I remember that, you know, the fall of 1981, I remember that. And then he did something else which was even more surprising. There was another guy who was like sleeping on a piece of cardboard on the floor and by the wall in the subway. You know, and he had a, you know, matted beard and, you know, very dirty and kind of stinky. And, you know, bloodshot eyes and stuff. And Grant goes up to this guy. He goes up to him And he gives him a couple of bucks or something. In fact, I think it was all that Grant had, except for enough money for subway fare back home. And you wonder, you know, why did Grant do this? He did it because he was a Christian. And I know that because he said so. We talked about it when we got back to the dormitory. You know, we all got back and we were talking about what had happened, and Grant said, you know, I did that because I'm a Christian. And Jesus loves me. Jesus died for me. And he said something like, Jesus said, if whatever you do for the least of these, you do to me. That's how I know why he did it. And the city kids, you know, they didn't really respond to that. They said, you should never give money to a beggar because he'll only use it for drugs or cigarettes or beer, which is what they use their money for. but, you know, and there's a point there about, you know, you don't want to enable someone to continue down the wrong path and, you know, drugs or alcohol or whatever. But, so what do you do when you face a person on the street like that? And I will confess to you, you know, one of the reasons when I graduated from law school, one of the reasons I didn't take a job in New York City is because I didn't know how to deal with that every day on the street, just walking to work or home. It's uncomfortable. You know, and you, I can tell you, I crossed the street sometimes to get to the other side, like the Levite in the Good Samaritan story, because I didn't know what to do, or I didn't like doing it. I just didn't like the confrontation. And I learned sometimes, well, is it the worst thing in the world to give somebody a couple of dollars? And maybe they'll use it for the wrong thing. Who knows? You know, do I use my money always for the right thing? Sometimes I try to, like, okay, well, you know, if you're in New York City, just about any place you go, there's a pizza joint on the corner. You can take them in for a bite to eat if they really are hungry. Or give them, you know, take them in for a cup of coffee or something. I don't know. What do you do? I'm just glad that Christ came for me when I didn't deserve it, and gave his life for me when I didn't deserve it. And when I take his forgiveness for granted, like I'm buying cigarettes or beer or drugs, he still has compassion for me. And all those times when I walked by, you know, when I walked by, I'll tell you, I had plenty of ready defenses in my mind. If anybody ever asked me, nobody ever asked me, why didn't you give money to that guy you just walked by on the street? Well, I was busy. I had a meeting that I had to get to. Lots of time-driven reasons. Or he would just use it for bad purposes. I don't know. I always had a ready defense for that in my mind. For Christ suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. I don't know, if you feel convicted about that, maybe you're being put to death in the flesh. Maybe I am. but being made alive in the Spirit, because that's what God wants to do. So, if you come here today to hear God's Word, let Him speak to you, because He wants to speak to your heart. He says, whoever follows me, my commandments, in our gospel reading, he says, I am in him and he is in me. You know, maybe let your heart be more like Christ. Don't you want your heart to be like Christ? Don't you want somebody to, wouldn't it be great if people were coming up to you all the time, why do you do all these wonderful things? Why are you so joyful and so happy? Well, we sponsor a child from Compassion International, too. And I'm just going to tell you the story about how that happened. It was a little different. We went to see a comedian, Christian comedian, with another family. This was back in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And, you know, it was a long day of work, and it's like, oh, okay, that's tonight. Okay, let's go. And I had forgotten, of course. But Rachel had organized it, and we go. And we're going to go see this comedian, this big theater, or maybe it was a big church or something. Anyway, we go sit down, theater seating and everything. And all of a sudden, before it happened, before the comedian got out there, they came down the row and started passing out these pictures of kids from Compassion International. And it's like, okay, please sponsor one of these kids. And if you don't, then pass the pictures of these little poor kids down the row. Well, here, I didn't have a defense for this one. Here I am with my wife, my two young daughters, you know, what example am I going to set here? And you're here with another family? It's like, how do you pass those pictures down without keeping one? Well, I felt uncomfortable. I didn't have a ready defense that day. I didn't have any reason to say, well, they'll just use the money for drugs. Well, I know that's not going to be the case. You know, and they're not going to use it for cigarettes. And then, oh, this is a good one. I like this, using this one. They're not going to use it in Jesus' name. Well, Compassion International kind of does. And they're connected to a local church. So all my excuses were gone. So we sponsor Rachel Muihaka Kariuki from Kenya. I guess the Lord was starting to work on my heart. Does it really make a difference to lift a person out of poverty and change their life? I'd like to thank everybody who does support Compassion International, and you've heard from some of them today. I'd like to thank all of those who are supporting Hearts for the Homeless and Clarence Food Pantry and Meals on Wheels and Habitat for Humanity and all the other things that, I mean, we should celebrate that those good works. That's good. And I'm sorry, I'm truly sorry if today you feel uncomfortable because for whatever reason, you don't sponsor a child through Compassion International, or for any reason, if you feel uncomfortable because you feel like you haven't done enough for the poor, or simply you don't feel like you're ready to give a defense for the hope that you have in Christ, because nobody's asked you. And my objective today is not to guilt you into doing something or to shame you into doing something. secular organizations might try that, but the church doesn't, or it shouldn't. I know that works, but assuaging your guilt because of someone else's suffering, that's not what the Lord's interested in. The Lord's not interested in shaming you to do good works. He's interested in your heart. He's interested in changing your heart so that when you see Christ, it softens your heart enough so that maybe, just maybe, someone can see Christ in you. Wouldn't you like it if someone sees Christ in your heart? I dream for that. And if you do feel guilt or shame today, well, take it to the cross and lay it there at Jesus' feet. He freely offers you forgiveness. That's what compassion is. Let his example of love be your motivation for your life. He wants your heart to be like his heart. He wants whatever you do to be motivated out of love, not out of guilt or shame. If you're motivated today, you have an opportunity. The tools are before you. If you're not motivated that way, don't go away feeling uncomfortable. I want you to come back. The Lord wants you to come back to hear his word so that you know who he is and what he's done for you. And that'll change your heart. It will. The Holy Spirit's working on you right now. Every time you hear his word, just to make your heart just a little bit more Christ-like. That's a good thing. So be ready. Have a ready defense. Someone will ask you, what's the reason for the hope that's in you? Point them to Christ. Explain to them the reason that you have for the hope of forgiveness and the resurrection to eternal life is through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.